Our third session, the following week, dealt with the aftermath of the trauma, how he had used drugs and alcohol for years to cope with his rage. As we repeated the EMDR sequences, still more memories arose. David remembered talking with a prison guard he knew about having his incarcerated assailant killed and then changing his mind. Recalling this decision was profoundly liberating. He had come to see himself as a monster who was barely in control, but realizing that he turned away from revenge put him back in touch with a mindful, generous side of himself. Next, he spontaneously realized he was treating his son the way he had felt toward his teenaged attackers. As our session ended, he asked if I could meet with him and his family so he could tell his son what had happened and ask for his forgiveness. At our fifth and final session, he reported that he was sleeping better and said that for the first time in his life, he felt a sense of inner peace. A year later, he called to report not only that he and his wife had grown closer and had started to practice yoga together, but also that he laughed more and took real pleasure in his gardening and woodworking. Learning about EMDR. My experience with David is one of many I have had over the past two decades in which EMDR helped to make painful recreations of the trauma a thing of the past. My introduction to this method came through Maggie, a spunky young psychologist who ran a halfway house for sexually abused girls. Maggie got into one confrontation after another, clashing with nearly everybody except the 13 and 14-year-old girls she cared for. She did drugs, had dangerous and often violent boyfriends, had frequent altercations with her bosses, and moved from place to place because she could not tolerate her roommates, nor they her. I never understood how she had mobilized enough stability and concentration to earn a PhD in psychology from a reputable graduate school. Maggie had been referred to a therapy group I was running for women with similar problems. During her second meeting, she told us that her father had raped her twice, once when she was 5 years old and once when she was 7. She was convinced it had been her fault. She loved her daddy, she explained, and she must have been so seductive that he could not control himself. Listening to her, I thought, she might not blame her father, but she sure is blaming just about everybody else, including her previous therapists, for not helping her get better. Like many trauma survivors, she told one story with words and another in her actions, in which she kept replaying various aspects of her trauma.